Greetings this morning, in Jesus' name. Thankful to be here again with you all to worship. This morning, for a text, I'd like to read out of Ephesians chapter 6. After you've found that, we'll have a word of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. You'll need to pray. So let's bow and pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we are thankful to be gathered together today in your name, Lord. We're thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ who desire to worship you, Lord, to live their lives for you, Father. We're thankful for this opportunity to come together and encourage one another in the faith, Lord. We do pray that somehow you would help these thoughts that you've given, Lord, to be clear, Lord, and that you would be glorified and exalted and magnified, Father. We thank you so much for your word. And just ask that you would open it to our hearts that we could understand. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read out of Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to read the first 9 verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. This morning, I'd like to take a look especially at verses 5 through 7. These verses, as I read this, as I was considering what to share and reading, as I read these verses, they stood out to me, especially verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. And that got me to thinking some of the thoughts that I would like to be able to share with you. I was thinking of the word singleness there, and what does that mean? Singleness, sincerity, not self-seeking, generosity, bountifulness, liberal, or simplicity, or some of the definitions we could give to that. And I also had to consider, I don't know exactly what this is all saying here, but it does give a reference almost as if we are serving our master here on earth the same way that we should be serving God. And so that's how I kind of like to look at this a little bit this morning. It's giving direction to servants, but I'd like to flip that around and use that as a check in our own hearts, how we are serving Christ. Are we doing it with singleness of heart? So just considering that, what all does that mean to serve with singleness of heart? And I guess I have a little object lesson here this morning. We all like brown bags, so we'll use that this morning. But most of us, probably from even a distance, can see what that is or what that's supposed to represent. It's supposed to be an apple. I say supposed to because it actually isn't an apple. And so you'll understand maybe a little more as we go here why I want to use this as an example. But simplicity would give an idea of wholehearted attention and not any pretense, or could we use the word hypocrisy? So that's where I'm going with these thoughts, I guess. I'd like to read in 1 Chronicles. It just seemed very interesting. I happen to have read this chapter earlier, and then as I read this other chapter in Ephesians, it referenced to this. And so I thought that was more than just coincidence. But it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, there's a prayer of David that I'd like to just read the first, or the, I guess, verses 10 through 20 is the verses I'd like to read. But just pay attention to David's attitude towards God in his prayer there. Verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads, and worship the Lord and the King. I thought that's a beautiful prayer. And we know that David, as a whole, his life, he wanted to serve God with his whole heart. And we see it here in this prayer. He was close to his death. Just notice, especially verses 17 and 19. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. And that word uprightness, I think, would be very close in definition to this word that we're looking at, singleness. It's a pure, undefiled eye, you could say, that is fixed on one thing. It's not drawn away by other things to causing distraction. Also in verse 6 there, it talks about not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. And as you think of that, what eye service would be, would be someone that, if they're working for someone, probably is whenever the boss comes around, they're going to all of a sudden be doing the right thing. And it's going to look real good. But as soon as the boss walks into the next room, suddenly they're doing their own thing again. That would be a picture of eye service. And just a question in our own hearts. Is that how we worship and serve God? Is it only when we're around other people? Or is it genuine, coming from our heart? Because we can't hide from God. We know that. God sees exactly what's in our heart. And so we can't please God with eye service. But in one sense, we can also live in hypocrisy, especially around other people. And then also it says, as men pleasers. Men pleasers would be people that would, you could use the term, court other people's approval. Try to gain other people's approval. Say all the right things to gain acceptance. I just had to think of one clear instance of that would be when people are running for public office. Many times they go around on campaigns and they'll say pretty much anything to get people to vote for them. But in the end, you find out that most of the time they still are going to do what was in their heart to begin with. It would be a form of men-pleasing. And so that's my thought, I guess, on hypocrisy. Do we look good on the outside? This apple from a distance, it even has blemishes. It looks really close to the real thing. And so often we as Christians can begin to look that way. And we know exactly what to say and how to look. But in reality, we aren't the real thing. And you know, the real thing, if I was to cut this apple open, we would soon tell this is the real thing. I'm not convinced. I don't know exactly what's inside there, but it sure isn't an apple. And so it's just a challenge to my own heart. What am I trying to do with my life? Am I trying to look good on the outside so everybody thinks I'm something that I'm not? Or am I with a single eye, serving my God and being an example to those around me? I'm a bit scattered this morning, and I apologize. But so I'd like to just consider hypocrisy versus singleness of heart, and just consider a few thoughts there. These are just some thoughts I have. Hypocrisy is trying to be two different things at the same time. It's trying to, in this case, it's trying to look like an apple, but yet the actual material that it's made out of has nothing to do with being an apple. And so you could use that as a person serving themselves, but they want to look like they're serving God. Singleness, on the other hand, is being one only or separate from all others, opposite of doubleness. And so I think they pretty much are complete opposites. I have a couple verses I'd like to read. Matthew 23, verse 28. Actually, while we're in Matthew, I had another verse I wanted to read. Let's look at Matthew 6 first. This is probably a verse that comes to your mind, verse 22 through 24 of Matthew 6. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The word single there is, I believe, if I got it right, is the same Greek word as we see in Ephesians 6 there. Let's turn over to Matthew 23, verse 28. Ye Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This was Jesus' rebuke, strong rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Previous verse, it talks about them appearing like whited sepulchres that appear beautiful outside, but are full of dead man's bones. Very strong words there that he uses towards them. He's addressing hypocrisy there. Luke 12, verse 1. Here it says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say in his heart, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Just reaffirming that God knows what is in our heart. We can't hide from God. And also, just like to point out verse 1 there, it refers to the hypocrisy there as a leaven, which can spread or grow. I didn't spend a lot of time looking into that, but hypocrisy can be, I believe, something that just grows and spreads in our life. And the next thing you know, our whole life is hypocritical. And you throw lying in the mix. Anyone knows that you're going to have to continue lying to cover up lying. And so it's a trap and a snare that we must avoid at all costs as Christians. James chapter 3. A lot of these verses today are very familiar. I just want to encourage your hearts by reading these. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom, we see clearly here in this verse, wisdom is without hypocrisy, true wisdom. And a lot more that could be said there. There's a lot of forms of hypocrisy around us today. We don't necessarily look at them as hypocrisy, but it's just a picture, I guess, I'd like to use. We have fake flowers. We have fake fruit like this. A lot of fake things that are all around us. And I'm not saying that's all wrong, but this apple, if I remember right, we've had it for at least 10 years. And I think it looks the same as it did the day we got it. So in that way, it's kind of nice having stuff like that around. But it's not an apple. It's not going to serve the purpose of a true apple. I remember there was a place that we put a window in someone's house. He didn't actually want the window to look through, but he just wanted a window from the outside as a form of decoration. It's kind of a form of hypocrisy, and I'm not saying it's all wrong, but it's just that's how our life can look at times. It looks so good on the outside, but if our heart is not for serving the Lord, that's all in vain. And also I had to think if we would go through and read the rest of Ephesians 6 there. I don't think we'll actually do that this morning, but it talks about the whole armor of God. And I believe that is one of the keys in this, as far as keeping a single eye, is when we're truly engaged. And I appreciated what Reuben shared last Sunday on wholehearted obedience. I believe that if our heart is truly engaged in seeking to obey God with a whole heart, I believe this is going to be much less of an issue than if we are wanting to be part ways in the kingdom and part ways in the world, or part ways pleasing ourselves. Then we'll be very much challenged with this in keeping a single eye. There's a lot of things that allure us today and want to draw our attention to draw our attention away from God. And I just encourage us that we would find the things that God would have us do. We all have different roles in our life. Some of us work away from home. Some of us are at home with, you know, caring for children. And if we keep our eye fixed on Christ and are faithful in the things that God is calling us in, there will be a great blessing in all that as well. Let's stay engaged in the kingdom and its work. Like I said, that we would be able to put on the whole armor of God, that we would be prepared when those fiery darts begin to come at us and discouragement and things of this world want to come in and take away our joy. Let us apply those things to our lives and be able to cry out to God in those times of need. I think that we'll find His grace will be there for us if we've been faithful to Him at all cost. So those are the thoughts that I have this morning. I know that some of them were a bit scattered. I did see a reference that I didn't actually look at in John 4. Just want to read that in closing here. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hypocrisy definitely is not truth. And you'll find a major conflict when those two come together. So God bless you. I hope you are encouraged and strengthened with those words.